You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 65, The 40 Days of Joy. Howdy, and thank you for tuning into The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And this week, we're going to talk about Lent as a season of 40 days of joy. Often we don't associate repentance and penance with joy. I'm going to explain why we should. Well, hey, welcome back to the show. Whether you're working out with your iPhone and listening to this, maybe you're driving in the car, maybe you have a child that you just put down for a nap, maybe you're in an airplane listening. Welcome back to the show. And today's topic is, I think, a really important one, because I know in my own past, I often thought of penance, Lent, and even the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary as something that's kind of a bummer or a drag. And I used to even jokingly say to people at the beginning of Lent on Ash Wednesday, hey, have a miserable Lent, kind of tongue-in-cheek. But I've been challenged on how I think about repentance, fasting, penance, Lent itself, even the sorrowful mysteries, by none other than my best friend and wife, Joy Marshall. And as we got into Lent this year, she really challenged me. She said, you know, let's make this 40 days of joy. Now, she didn't just say that because her name is Joy. She said it because it is a profoundly biblical concept. So today we're going to talk about joy as it relates to penance, suffering, and sorrow, things you might not have ever associated with joy. We're going to show how, as baptized Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, that is exactly how we're expected to see seasons and times of repentance. But before we get into all that, we're going to start, as we do, with our Proverb of the Week. And for those of you that are new to this show, every week we have a Proverb of the Week, we have a Latin Word of the Week, we have a Tip of the Week, and all that's coming later on in the show, as well as our Featured Segment. So the Featured Segment this week would be the 40 Days of Joy. And we always lead off with our Proverb of the Week. And this week's proverb is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 26 and 27. It reads like this, quote, when you walk about, bring along this commandment, and let it be with you. And as you sleep, let it guard you, that when you arise, it may speak to you. End quote. So here in the proverb, we're told to bring along this commandment. And the context tells us this commandment is not just one commandment. It's in fact the entire revealed will of God that we receive, as we know as Catholics, through Scripture and through tradition. So this commandment is to believe, hope, and love God. And the proverb says, when you walk about, wherever you go, or as you drive around, or as you fly from one airport to another, bring this commandment with you. Let it be within you. Put it into your heart. The next part says, as you sleep, let it guard you. And I love that. When we go to bed at night, we should always pray. We should always bookend our days with, in the morning with prayer and in the evening of prayer. And if you can, also add a scripture reading in the morning and the evening. And this pattern goes back to the Israelite people. Well, it actually goes back to creation itself, but the Israelites had an offering of incense that was made in the morning and was made in the evening. And this offering of incense signified the prayers of the faithful ascending upward into heaven, morning and evening. And we, believers of the New Testament, should do the exact same thing. You can use the Liturgy of the Hours, or you can use your own prayers, or you can do both. But we should end the day with a prayer, with a meditation, with a reflection on God's goodness towards us. I know for me it always helps to think about all the good things that happened today. It may have been a horrible day, a terrible day, but there were good things, little jewels hidden in that day, and it's our duty as followers of Christ to find those things and to thank God. And when we do that, as it says in this proverb, it will guard us as we sleep. Those good thoughts, those prayers, those thanksgivings that you offer back to the Lord through Jesus Christ are going to guard you through the night. And here's the best part, the last little couple words of this verse. And when you arise, it may speak to you. So when you wake up the next morning, what you had the day before speaks to you. And this is why it's important that we always end each day with the commandment of God, with the presence of God that will guard us through the night. And when we wake up, will be there to greet us. I know that I don't always do this faithfully, but I know last night I did this. And when I woke up with a joy. And I woke up with an awareness of God's presence there with me, even before I got out of bed. And that's wonderful. That's how I want to start every day. And this has been a great day because I started on the right path. Here's the verse again. When you walk about, bring along this commandment and let it be with you. And as you sleep, let it guard you, that when you arise, it may speak to you. End quote. Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump right in to our featured segment, 40 Days of Joy. Now, Lent is a season of self-denial. A sign of true maturity is that you can accept delayed gratification. Delayed gratification is the principle that you give up something good now in this moment for something greater in the future. Young children, I have seven of them, so I know, and I used to be one, have a problem with delayed gratification. And it's our duty as parents, if you're a parent, to teach them the importance of delayed gratification. So you can do things like, you can't have dessert unless you eat your food now, right? The Catholic Church continues to teach us this principle through her through canon law and through liturgical practice. For example, we are told that we cannot receive communion unless we fast from food and drink for 1 hour before receiving communion. This is to teach us the principle of delayed gratification. We deny ourselves of something good in the moment, food, drink, in order to receive something greater, supernatural food, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Likewise, the feast of Easter, the feast of the resurrection, is the greatest and highest feast day of the Catholic Church. It's greater and more holy than even Christmas itself. And yet, before we can enjoy that, the Church asks us to spend a season of reflection, repentance, fasting, and almsgiving. Now, to take it even a step further, you know, as children, we have a problem with delayed gratification. Then as we become adults, hopefully, we learn that principle. Probably the most glaring example in our culture has to do with sex. So the Catholic Church, following Christ and the apostles, says, do not have sexual experiences, sexual relations, before you receive the sacrament of matrimony. You give up something good, a pleasure, in order to receive something greater, the sacrament of holy matrimony, a soulmate, the birth of children, and the avoidance of a bunch of evil things like, you know, sexually transmitted diseases, or children that are born not in a nuclear family, born outside of marriage, all sorts of terrible things enter the world when people don't follow this mandate of delayed gratification. But I think as followers of Jesus, there's even another level that we have to learn. And I don't think a lot of us, and it's something that I struggle with, it's not something that a lot of us have been able to absorb. And that is that the delay of the gratification for the something greater, that delay itself can bring about joy. It can bring about happiness. It can bring about peace. So even before you get the gratification, even before you get to Easter, there's something within Lent, within the waiting, within the fasting, within the giving away. There's some joy hidden in there. And I think the true follower of Jesus is able to discover even this principle. We're going to look at some Bible verses about that in just a little bit. But this is really the key, and this is where I want to drill down today. That is, it's not just in the eventual prize or the gratification that makes it all worth it. Even within the journey of suffering, there is something good, true, beautiful. There's joy to be found there. Ultimately, our entire lives are a delayed gratification. We don't do things that we might kind of want to do, sins, so that ultimately we can receive the greatest reward, the greatest gift, and that is heaven itself. But in this life, we can find little pieces of joy as we wait to be face to face with God. Even in this life, even in this journey, there is joy. So let's take a look at this. Well, first of all, Lent, as you know, is a time of fasting. And most of us see it primarily as giving something up. And I'm not going to give you the cliche sermon that we hear every year. You know, don't just give things up. Also do extra things. Add something to your life. Of course, all of that's true. We should not only be giving things up, but adding things. But I think in a particular way, with regard to fasting and food, it's important for us as Christians to remember that we are not Muslims. We are not Jews. We do not believe that foods in themselves make us clean or unclean. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, St. Paul writes, "Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both, one and the other. The body is not meant for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So Paul's here saying, look, you know, you Christians don't get, you know, caught up in the Jewish Old Testament understanding that by eating a ham sandwich or shrimp or something quote-unquote unclean, that you're going to become sinful. That's not the case in the New Testament. Also, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, St. Paul writes, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit," end quote. So again, this is a great verse for us to contemplate as we're in the midst of Lent. The kingdom of God is not in food or drink. It's not necessarily in fasting. But it is, St. Paul says, in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Three words there: righteousness, joy, and peace within the third person, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. That ultimately should be our goal. Now, Christ also says in Matthew chapter 6, "When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Now, Christ doesn't want us, when we do our fasting, to have a sad countenance. He says it right there in Matthew 6:16. He says that is the posture of the hypocrites. And none of us want to be hypocrites. Instead, he says, when you're fasting, you shouldn't have a sad countenance. You should have a joyful countenance. What does that look like? Well, it means when you go throughout your day, you have a smile on your face. And a true smile is not just the turning up of the corners of your mouth. A true smile is in the eyes. You know, you can always tell in a photograph, whatever, a fake smile or a real smile. And a real smile is told with the twinkle of the eye. It's where your eyes get all squinted up and your cheekbones are raised up high. The entire flesh of your face transforms when you are truly joyful. You can't fake a true smile. And how do you get this joy? You get it through Christ. So as you go to the grocery store, there should be a smile with the people you greet. As you get onto the elevator, there should be a smile and a joy because you're communicating the gospel joy of Jesus Christ. When you get into work and see your boss, there should be a smile and a joy. As you do your work, a smile and a joy. As you do things you don't want to do, homework, a smile and a joy. When we delay our gratification, there should still be the joy found within. Now, I know that a lot of you listening to this are thinking, well, I wish it were that easy. You know, I wish I woke up and I was all pumped up and I was happy and joyful, but you know, things are pretty bad. My business is failing. My marriage is not in the place where it needs to be. I don't get along with my parents. I'm doubting my faith. We really want to have a baby and we can't have a baby, or we have so many babies, you know, having so many children that it's stressful for my wife and me. It's hard to keep my head up and to keep on moving and to have a pep in my step. So what do we do about this? Well, joy in the Bible is only possible when we have a security in the Lord, when we feel safe in God's provision and His presence. And I think the best way to find security in the Lord is to read the Psalms as prayers. Because as you read the Psalms, I try to read a Psalm every day. The Psalms are hymns, they're Old Testament hymns that celebrate the protection of God for His people and for particular persons who are seeking after God. And the Psalms show on the human side doubt, fear, insecurity, but from God's side they start to show provision, safety, care, protection. And these are all things that we humans need to hear, not from time to time. I think we need to hear them daily. So, for example, Psalm 4, verses 6 through 8 reads like this. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. We could do an entire podcast on this verse. It starts off saying, God, who will bring me prosperity? Who's going to bring our family the money for us to pay the mortgage and to send our kids to good schools and to clothe us and to buy the groceries? Who's going to do all that, Lord? And then the psalm says, let the light of your face shine on us. Fill us with joy when their grain and new wine abound. Of course, that has to do with grain and wine, but it also has to do with the Eucharist, the bread and wine that turns into the body and blood of Jesus. Then it says, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. You alone, Lord. You know, it's not winning the lottery that will give you sleep and make you dwell in safety. It's not getting a raise that will give you sleep and give you safety. It's not finding a spouse that will give you sleep and let you dwell in safety. It's not having a child that will give you sleep and make you dwell in safety. Here we see it says the Lord alone will give you sleep and make you dwell in safety. So if we're not spending time with God, if we're not in His Word, if we're not reading the Bible, reading the Psalms, if we're not talking to Him in prayer every single day, we won't have the peace and joy. And as we move through 40 days of Lent, as we fast, as we give up things, as we take on new spiritual duties and responsibilities, we're not going to have the joyful countenance that Christ has asked us to have back there in Matthew chapter 6. Now, there's something else about joy that I've experienced in my own life when I have it and when I don't have it. And by the way, don't listen to this podcast thinking, man, this Taylor guy's got joy all the time. No, not true. Just ask my wife. I get discouraged. I lose hope sometimes. I lose my joy, just like all of us. So this is a podcast just as much as it is for me as it is for you. But I found in my own life, I lose joy, I lose peace in the Lord when I forget my direction, when I forget where I'm going. As someone said, When you lose your way, I'm sorry, when you lose your why, you lose your way. When you don't know why you're living, you lose your way. Joy comes to us when we have a clear direction in life. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with the joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." End quote. So God makes the path of life known to us. This is what the psalm teaches us. If we don't seek the path from God, we're not going to know. And when you don't know where you're going, you don't know if you're on the right path, you don't know where you are on the map, you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you are, you don't know what the goal is, you get confused and you lose a sense of peace. As it says here, "You will fill me with joy in your presence." And this happens after he makes known the path of life. So do you have a clear direction in your life? We've talked about this in so many past episodes on this show. How do you find the right mini goals to get you to the big mega goal, that is, to be with God in heaven, the beatific vision? How do you discover the mini goals? How do you find the path of life? Only God can give it to you, and so we need to find it. And we don't have time to do all that, you know, how to explain all that works, but the basic comes down to this. Do you talk to God every day? Do you say to him, "Lord, I don't know the way, show me the way"? And by the way, the tip of the week, after we finish this, the featured segment, the tip of the week is how to actually have closure and how to actually make difficult decisions in your prayer life. We're going to go over just a very simple way to do that. It's biblical, comes straight from the Christian tradition. It's going to be very helpful to you. But we have to find a clear path of life. I would encourage you to search through the past podcast. You can go to taylormarshall.com, click on weekly podcast. It's going to give you the archive, and just browse through. You're going to find several, five or six podcasts that talk about how to create goals, how to make a plan of life, how to discern God's will for your life, how to discern God's will for your vocation, how to find a spiritual director. It's all there. The important thing here is you find a path of life, and you can only find that from God. And of course, you can only get it from God if you're plugged in to Him. All right, now joy also comes to our life, even if we're fasting, even if we're sick, even if we lose a loved one. Joy comes to us when we become people of praise. When we're grateful for the blessings we receive, even the little bitty ones, and we praise the name of the Lord. And of course, this happens every time we go to Mass, if we are there in spirit and offering that eternal sacrifice of Christ with the priest in the Mass. But it's something that should happen throughout the day. You know, St. Maximilian Kolbe, every 15 minutes, made a spiritual communion and offered up his praises and his life as a sacrifice to God. Every 15 minutes, he was doing that. How can we do the same thing? Psalm 92, verse 4 reads like this, "For you have made me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts." End quote. So here in the psalm, we say, you know, "I sing for joy at what your hands have done. Lord, look at my life. Look at what you have done. You've delivered me from this problem. You brought this blessing into my life. You brought this person into my life. I was sick and I'm made well. Or I'm sick now, but I know that you're with me. I know that you have a plan for this. And I praise your name for that. I give thanks to you. I worship you. I adore you." That is the true spirit of the Christian, because that is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Psalms and speaking in our own voices. So as we move through these 40 days, we need to find them as a time of joy. It's a time of delayed gratification, but as we give up food and drink, as we delay the great feast of the resurrection, of course, every Sunday is the feast of the resurrection, but as we delay for this super feast, this feast of feasts at Easter, we look at almsgiving, we look at prayer, we look at fasting, And we find there a sense of purpose and of peace. And so as you move through the rest of Lent, we're not quite halfway through yet. Every single day, think of it as a time of celebration, praise, adoration, joy. What can I find this day to praise God for? What can I find in this day for God to put me on that special path that He has planned for me from all eternity past? And live in that joy. Make this 40 days a time of practice. And then when Easter comes, just continue to do it the next day, the next day, and the next day. And will bad things happen? Yes. Will people you love in the years of your life that remain die? Yes. Will you become sick? Yes. Will there be financial setbacks? Could be. We don't know what's going to happen. But we do know that we are told to rejoice always, St. Paul tells us. And Christ, when he appears to the apostles on Easter Sunday, says, "Peace be to you." He gives them his own peace to live within them. So I would think that as Lent goes on, I would think the greatest accomplishment that you could experience during these 40 days of Lent would be to rediscover joy, to rediscover peace, to rediscover the face of Jesus in your life, that the Holy Spirit dwells in your life and that something is bubbling over every day, your cup overflows every day with grace, and that that grace begins to affect people around you. And you're going to see people who also want to know more about the Lord, and you're going to see your children want to come back to the church, and you're going to see coworkers asking more about what you believe and what you do. That is the natural way that God has assigned for we, followers of Jesus, to evangelize the world. First, there should be a joy and a peace that radiates out. And then those who do not know the Lord will ask, what is it? Right now, most people around us think Christians are judgmental, uptight, sour, and rude. You have to reach down deep during Lent and prove all of them wrong. So 40 days of joy. Here we go. Let's get started. All right, a couple announcements before we jump into our tip of the week, which is going to help you find closure in big life decisions. The first is, you know, about a month ago, I wrote a post, and it was an analysis of the lyrics for a really popular song, "Take Me to Church." If you have a radio in your car or you listen to any form of radio, you're out in public, you have heard this song, "Take Me to Church." At first, I heard it, and I thought it was a very catchy song, and I kind of enjoyed it. But as I listened to the lyrics, I was troubled, and I've done a theological analysis of the lyrics, every single word in that song. And it's become number two in the Google search for "Take Me to Church" and the lyrics. And we've had about 500,000, half a million people come to the blog at taylormarshall.com and read this article. And of course, there's a lot of great comments and a lot of angry comments, but it's become, I think, helpful to a lot of people. And so if you've heard this song and you want to know more about it and why I think this is probably one of the most blasphemous and dangerous songs ever made popular in Western civilization history, and you'll see why as you look at the analysis, I would encourage you to check that post out if you haven't already. We'll put a link in the show notes, or you can just Google "Take Me to Church lyrics meaning" or "Take Me to Church Taylor Marshall." It'll pop up there, one or two, and you can read that article. Also, we'll be opening up enrollment again for the new St. Thomas Institute probably next month. We have a lot of people who are getting on the waiting list. During spring enrollment, we added 400 new members, and there's a lot more people who want to join up. So if you're interested and you want to take classes online with me, you want to study Catholic philosophy, Catholic theology, Catholic apologetics, we do it all in highly well-produced HD videos and MP3s, and we've had a lot of people who've been enjoying it. The comments always come back positive. So if you'd like to be involved in that, visit us at newstthomas.com. newstthomas.com. I mentioned last time that we're also working on a special apostolate for college kids called Catholic in College. It'll be a New St. Thomas Institute style presentation, but we're going to orient it towards college kids because 30% of Catholic college kids lose their faith and never come back to the sacraments again. That's almost one out of three. So we need to do something about this. And at the New St. Thomas Institute, we are developing a program to help those students as they go to college. So if you have a high schooler or you have a student who's already in college, stay tuned for more about CatholicInCollege.com. Okay, tip of the week. How do we find closure? How do we find clarity when we're trying to make a big decision? I'm not talking about, you know, what color socks you're going to wear in the morning. I'm talking about, who should I marry? Should I buy this house? Should I move to this city? Should I take this job? Is God calling me to priesthood or to matrimony? Is he calling me to the religious life? These are the big questions. You don't want to get them wrong, right? So how do we come to a firm resolution? How do we discern God's will? As Christians, we're not superstitious. We don't believe in divination. We don't consult horoscopes. The church teaches in the catechism that consulting horoscopes is a grave sin. It could constitute mortal sin. So leave that kind of stuff alone. Don't be involved in voodoo or palm reading or any of that kind of superstition or divination. Instead, the Lord asks us to do something much more effective and much more powerful, and that is to turn over our decisions and futures to him. The prayer that you want to pray is something like this: Lord, I don't know what to choose at this moment. I'm confused. Of course, we always want to use our reason, right? But sometimes we use our reason and we still don't know what to do. We say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to choose the right answer. I don't know what the outcome is for my life. But I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to ask you to make the circumstances of my life so clear and so obvious that there's only one right way to move forward. So, for example, if you were concerned about whether you're going to marry this person or not, you ask the Lord, you turn it over to the Lord so that the circumstances of your life make it completely clear. I have done this so many times in my life, and I can say with certainty, 100% of the time, he makes it clear. You may have to wait a while. Is it going to always be easy? There might be suffering involved. Yes, but you will have clarity. And I want to say this, not just you say this one time and you check out. It requires a constant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Another thing you can do as you contemplate these kind of decisions, and this is from St. Ignatius of Loyola. He says, if someone else came to you in the exact situation that you find yourself in, with the exact set of options, how would you counsel that person? Then he says the exact same thing. How would you counsel that person, which would be you, of course, but how would you counsel that person in light of death? And then how would that person be counseled in light of eternity, talking to Jesus Christ on the judgment day? So this also helps us to get great clarity. If you're looking at two options, option A and option B, and you say to yourself, well, what advice would I give to someone if they were going to face Jesus Christ at the judgment seat and he was going to ask them about option A and option B? When we put our options in that light, things suddenly become a lot clearer. You know, you can say, if I was on my deathbed looking back on my life and looked back on option A and option B, which would be the one that I would counsel? Which would be my advice with regard to looking back on it from the point of view of your deathbed. So Ignatius of Loyola gives those three examples. How would you counsel someone else in your exact situation? How someone would be counseled in light of death, looking back on life, and how someone would be counseled in light of the great judgment, us actually having to give an account for those decisions to Jesus Christ. So that's kind of a rational process. But even if you go through that and you still don't know what to do, this is when we go to the Lord in prayer and we say, I don't know what to do. I entrust it to you. Arrange the circumstances of my life to make it 100% clear. Don't pray for 90% clarity or 70% clarity or 50% clarity. Ask the Lord to give you 100% clarity so that you can move forward with faith and have confidence in your actions. So that's the tip of the week. Wait, I've got a gift offer for you. If you haven't already, please download my book, Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages. It's available in paperback now on Amazon.com, but you can get it for free at TaylorMarshall.com. Just go to TaylorMarshall.com in the upper right-hand corner. You can put in your email and download the free ebook. And I want to give a shout-out to everyone who has rated this podcast, this show on iTunes. There have been 293 ratings. All of those but two are five-star reviews. So all 293 of you, I want to thank you so much for taking time to rate this show and to write something nice. In particular, in the last few days, I want to thank Javier Lopez Garcia. He left a five-star review. Javier said, Taylor Marshall's podcast and books are helping me come back to the church and awakening a hunger for knowledge and spirituality. Thank you, Taylor. I'll be waiting for future enrollment into the new St. Thomas Institute. Saludos desde Mexico. Javier, hey, you're coming back to the church. Awesome. Welcome back to a family that loves you. Welcome back to the family of God. Continue in your studies. Continue to seek after Christ. I also want to thank Family123D. They left a five-star review. And also Southpaw Randy. He wrote a five-star review and was thankful for the podcast we did last week, Why God Created Me. And hey, if you're listening, I would really, 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 really appreciate you if you would leave a rating and a review of your own. Just go over to iTunes. That's Apple's store, iTunes, and you can search Taylor Marshall Catholic Show. The podcast will come up. You can leave a one-star, two-star, three-star, four-star, five-star review, whatever you think the show deserves. That's what you should give it. Of course, we always love the five-star, but give it what you think. And then leave a comment why you like it. I read every single one of these comments, and I will read your comment on this podcast next week. So head on over to iTunes, search Taylor Marshall Show, and leave your comment and rating over there. And while you're at it, hit the subscribe button. You'll get this podcast every Wednesday as they come out. Okay, we'll close up with the Latin word of the week. The Latin word of the week is quadragenta. Quadragenta is the Latin word for 40. It is the Latin word for 40. It's also the Latin word usually used to describe Lent, quadragenta. And it's also where we get the English word quarantine. So you'll say, oh, those people need to be quarantined. It means that they're separated from the community for 40 days. You know, if someone is very sick, they have a disease that could spread, they are separated from the community for 40 days so that they're completely healed of their disease before being brought back into society. So that's where we get the idea of a quarantine. It comes from this word quadragenta, 40. And I think there's a spiritual application. We, in a certain sense, separate a part of the year, 40 days, to find spiritual healing from our diseases. And then after we've been away for 40 days, we jump right back into the celebration of the gospel with Easter, recommitted to Christ, our resurrected Lord. So there it is, 40 days of joy. I want to challenge you to find joy. I want to challenge you to hide God's word in your heart at night. Wake up, have it greet you, put a smile on your face, greet the day knowing that God's favor rests on you, His anointing rests on you as a baptized person, as a confirmed person. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to you to open your heart, to share your thoughts, to share your fears, to share your concerns. And in return, he's going to give you the peace that God can give you through Jesus Christ, the peace of Jesus Christ. And until next time, remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.
Podcast was brought to you by the new St. Thomas Institute. Discover online Catholic classes and earn your certificate in Catholic theology at the new St. Thomas Institute. To register for online Catholic classes, please visit newstthomas.com. That's newstthomas.com.